poesía.
Loud Noise is a comedy show here on Tunisia 107.3. And it's about to start. But before we begin, we have been told by basically everybody that we have to warn you about our language themes, because it might be offensive to some listeners. So, if that's you, well, sorry.
What's up, fam? This is Loud Noise coming at you live this sexy Sunday evening right here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Willen. In case you haven't heard, Loud Noise is the only show in Sydney that calls it straight down the middle. We don't have a bleeding heart for left-wing liberals or pander to the bloody noisy alt-right bullshit brigade. So check your virtue signalling at the door, spare yourself from any agenda-driven nonsense, and just enjoy the next half hour.
Hello, people. I'm Hannah, and we have a whole lot for you this week. We're going to talk some same-sex marriage, some different-sex marriage, and some political marriage. Also, there's some energy stuff, some citizenship stuff, some stuff you won't care about, some stuff you might care about, and songs. We love songs, so stick around.
But if you're feeling stuck or you're trigger-averse, take a rainbow pill and just get over it. But in case you need something to wash it down with, slide on over to www.2ser.com/loud-noise. You can whine and moan and gripe and groan at the Loud Noise Show on Twitter, or you can check out some of our fancy stuff at thecentre.com.au.
Religion is the opiate of the masses. Football is the cocaine of the masses. Bastardized Eastern philosophy is the cannabis of the masses. Loud Noise is the heroin sex palace of the masses.
Together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Stand your ground, men. Stand your ground. Stand your ground.
And the 25 words. There will be no survivor.
No, not yet.
My men are here. I'm here. But soon you will not be here.
No!
Light him.
The great Parrot Roberts takes no survivor. All you war's nightmares are about to come true.
Then love, true love, will follow you forever.
The great Parrot Robert is here for you.
There's a lot of parallels between the Princess Bride and what's going on right now in Australia. Hannah, you've been following this quite closely. What did you make of the High Court decision to allow for the postal vote for same-sex marriage?
Well, I think it wasn't wholly surprising for the most part, but I guess it was a little bit disappointing. Like, where are those funds coming from? And it's $122 million. It's not exactly pocket change, maybe for the government, but the only way that they can get them is if it's extreme and unforeseen circumstances.
Urgent
or something.
Urgent and unforeseen.
Urgent and unforeseen. And they've been talking about having a plebiscite for months. So I don't know how strong their argument was. It held up in the High Court. We've got to respect that decision, but it does seem a little bit fishy.
It was a very clever argument that they made, because it was unforeseen before the budget. After the budget, like a week after the budget, when they said that they were definitely going to do it and it did become policy, that's how they got around that in some respect. But I don't even think that it's so much about the High Court decision to allow for a postal vote, because it's basically just saying, okay, we're going to let you spend $120 million now on sending out pieces of paper to everybody that only really half of the people are going to participate in.
Well, some people are already trying to sell them online. Like,
yeah, but that's someone trying to get some attention, you know. He was never, whoever he or she or whoever it was that was doing it, is never going to be allowed to sell it, because it goes against like electoral rules. You can't sell your vote. I think it's like 1906 act that's in place. But in terms of the actual debate, though, I don't know about you. I don't know about you listening, but it does draw a lot of parallels to the Princess Bride.
Yeah, both sides are vocal. That's for sure. And I don't know, the level of respect on both sides has been questionable. So I don't know. I just hope we get through this without too much horrible stuff being sort of thrown over the fence at the other party.
But see, the whole thing for me, it just screams of both sides being able to now galvanize their supporters, and they just find issues to argue about. When in reality, it could be such a simple thing, but like such a simple thing for politicians to just vote on and just to let people get married that want to get married, like people that want to ruin their lives. Jesus. No, you smirk, but all I'm saying is like marriage is essentially a contract. It's like an agreement, just like any other contract that you enter into. It's no different.
I agree with you. And if they want to get married, I have no problem with that.
Yeah,
two consenting adults, do whatever
exactly,
you want.
Exactly, but that's my point. So where are the rational heads in this debate that realise, okay, all we're realistically doing, unless it's like some complete and utter setup between both sides, because all it's doing now is generating a lot of income for a lot of people that otherwise wouldn't have this money. All these advocacy groups on both sides, all these people that now, you know, have a platform, have a voice to talk, that really don't need it, because that's what we pay politicians to do. And they should get up off their asses and just vote. Because it's ridiculous. And you can tell that there's so many of them that are so concerned with what's going to happen after if they vote no. Because how many of these right-wing conservatives, how many of them will then ever be able to be at a ministry-level position if they go on the floor and vote no? How many of them are going to be able to collect the money that they collect around the corner from the far-right advocacy groups and from the churches and all that kind of thing if they don't vote no and they vote yes? And
well,
this is why we've got a postal vote. This is why we've got like months and months and months of drama. Because there are people that are too bloody cowardly to actually just do the right thing and just say, fine, if people want to have a name, like a word, if that's what we're trying to vote for, if people want to have a word about their civil union, which is what is currently the case for people that are same-sex getting married. If people want to have, instead of it being a civil union and they want to call it marriage, what does it matter? If I want to have a vote now about, let's call all tomatoes potatoes, who cares?
I care. I love potatoes.
No, but this is my point. It shouldn't be such a hard thing to do, because it's literally about a word. It's language.
A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
It's just a word. And that's my point. This whole thing is because people want to keep their money, and people want to keep the opportunity to be a prime minister one day or to be a minister one day and all that kind of thing.
But do you think the religious factions have a point? Do you think that they have some ownership on marriage?
No. I think that the religious side, yeah, it is sides, because there is a multiple amount of religions.
And there's very nuanced views here. Not everyone is one way or another.
Yeah, they don't own a word though. No one owns a word. They can refuse. Look, I'm all for, if you're a religious leader and you want to refuse to marry someone, fine, because it's your church. You do what you want. Just the same as they should be allowed to do what they want, every side should be allowed to do what they want. Because I'm sure there's going to be no shortage of churches that will still marry same-sex people, because there's a lot of money in getting married. Money always wins.
What do you think about the cake shops that are refusing to make same-sex marriage cakes in the US?
It's nonsense. And this is old... old stories. Like, I reckon, again, anyone should be able to make whatever cakes they want. You can't. This is how capitalism works. You provide a service. You provide a good. You provide an item. You can choose and pick whoever you want to serve and whoever you don't want to serve. Because just as much as there might be one cake shop that doesn't want to make a same-sex or an LGBTI cake, the way that capitalism works, there's going to be 10 other people that are going to want that money. It's just how capitalism works. And that's the beauty of it. If you don't want to service one part of a community in capitalism, there's going to be 10 other people that will come and will compete with you and drive you into the ground. That is, don't you think?
So you think people should be voting with their money?
Of course.
Their spending.
But businesses should be voting with their money. Because they're the ones, like, if you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to serve someone who's LGBTI because, you know, maybe I'm a bar and I'm not going to serve anyone who's gay, then you're going to have 10 gay bars open up next to you to serve that community that you're failing to take advantage of. It's ridiculous. Money always wins. Always.
But you don't think that we should legislate against discrimination?
What do you mean legislate against? It's not discrimination, though, because this is a business. This isn't a human entity. This isn't someone, you know, inciting hate speech or something like that. This is just the business deciding, okay, our model is we're not going to, you know, as a cake shop, serve gay people. Fine, go broke, because that's what's going to happen. And it's up to the consumers to go, okay, we're going to go somewhere that doesn't do that. Or if we want a cake that's got rainbows or whatever else on it, fine, we'll go to the place that serves us. And then the person that doesn't want to do that, the person that wants to sit within this, you know, ridiculous construct of I'm just going to serve one particular section of like a consumer base rather than, you know, I'm making cakes, it should be for like everybody. That's fine. That's their business. Go broke. Let capitalism take care of it. No?
Yeah. I don't know. I think there is some room for anti-discrimination laws.
But it's not discrimination. You can't have the government get too involved in business. It's a very, very fine line you start walking when you do that. Speaking of fine lines,
when I masturbate, I have incest on my brain. Happens 20 times a day. That's what people say. I like to fornicate. 6 inches is okay. A quick rolling in the hay. That's what people say. But I keep boning. I can't stop, won't stop moaning. It's like I've got this wet spot between my thighs, saying I'm gonna fuck tonight. And I'm taking off your shirt. Whoops, there goes my skirt. Now I'm gonna jerk. Jerk it off. You like to watch me work. I'm down for your quirks, I'm just gonna jerk it off. There's no dick I won't beat. There's no pussy I won't eat. And I have a thing for feet. More than 7 is a treat. I'm starting on my own. When we're talking on the phone. And you don't even know that I'm about to blow. But I keep stroking. I can't stop, won't stop poking. It's like I've got this rhythm between my thighs. Coming on the phone tonight. Cause the slayer's gonna slay. The queers are gonna gay. I'm just gonna jerk. Jerk it off. The sluts are gonna twerk. The hooker's gonna work. I'm just gonna jerk. Jerk it off.
Hey. Just think, while you've been getting down and out with all the prudes and the squeaky clean vanillas, you could have been going down on this fresh meat. My gimp man brought his new whip plan. He's like, oh my god, but I'm just gonna jerk to the pussy over there all covered in hair. I just wanna shave you, baby, we can jerk. Yeah. Jerk it off. You've got to jerk it off.
You're listening to Loud Noise, the show that's served with a side of pulled pork, smashed avocados, slapped potatoes, and sexually harassed toast.
And we're back. Now, if you're like me, you hecking hate paying your energy bill. It's just so big every month, you hate it, and it just seems like it's never going to get any better. And if you look at Parliament and what's been happening the last couple of weeks, it looks like we're going to get another round of blackouts this summer. Power prices are going to skyrocket, and there's just not enough power around, and I don't know. What's going on, Will?
There'll be enough power around.
It seems like the power companies are holding the government hostage.
No. They're not. Not particularly. The government was, in a sense, holding the power companies hostage because they, you know, sold a lot of our natural gas back when Kevin 07 was in charge. So it really depends on how you look at it. Now, there is going to be certain places where the government is holding everyone hostage, more so than others. You've got South Australia with I want to say fanciful push towards renewables, but it's just in a manner in which that is very virtue signaled instead of being, you know, based on actual achievable results in the short term. So they're going to have some struggles, South Australia, 100%. Even with Santos now, you know, increasing their... Hannah's laughing because for the past, I don't know, 6 months, I was banging on about how Santos were very undervalued in the market. They were, you know, rolling around $2.90, $2.80, and I was telling all and sundry, invest in Santos now. By 2023, they're going to absolutely explode once everything comes online. What ended up happening was I bought in at $2.90, I think it was. No one else listened to me, and now they're about $3.90 because of this basic reason. Right now in Australia, you've got a whole heap of resources. We've got all the coal, we've got all the gas, and we just send it everywhere else. Now, you know, the heads of government, you know, you've had your Turnbull talking to all the energy retailers, and now they're talking a lot of nonsense about making it cheaper. The reason why it isn't cheaper is because we send all our power overseas, a lot of it, a lot of the resources that we use to make power. Now, Santos in the past 2 weeks have said that, one, they're going to release 17 petajoules per annum to the southern markets. This is going to be basically what's going to save South Australia and Victoria, who are on this nonsensical renewables push. Those extra petajoules are what's going to keep the lights on for a lot of businesses. Also, this week, at the end of the week, they announced, I think it was another 27 petajoules for the eastern markets.
But hang on, we have so much solar power in this country. How do we not have enough energy?
We don't have solar power.
We have a lot of sunlight. How do we not have better solar investments? What's going on here? Why is this still a thing that we have to worry about?
Because you need to make a large scale. Again, okay, look, Western Australia right now in the Pilbara would be the perfect place. And they've done there was a recent study about this, about how Western Australia could be the solar power plant for the world. And then you could ship a lot of it to Asia, the power that's actually generated in the Pilbara, because it's like the perfect conditions for it. But it takes capital. You can't just say, oh, why isn't our power cheaper? But if you're spending your capital rather than doing it on, you know, these heli plants, these coal-fired plants that are cleaner than the regular coal plants that... you roll your eyes. And
clean coal.
No. It's cleaner. The emission. There's less emissions. Like, the coal's better and the way it gets processed. But
it's like saying a turd is a cleaner turd. No. It's still a turd.
That's fine. And there's a lot of people that are probably listening that are thinking, oh, clean coal, it's ridiculous. But at the end of the day, in order for Australia to advance as a country, in order to have these technological advancements that you need in order to drive the renewables industry further, you need to have an industry that has cheap power, because otherwise a lot of your costs are going to power costs instead of them going to driving R&D, instead of them going to, like, innovation. We're sitting here and we're in Australia. Meanwhile, you've got China, you've got India, you've got all these countries that give... Yeah, they're turning the corner in a sense when it comes to the environment, but they're still burning a lot of coal. They've got nuclear plants, they've got all these other things that produce cheap energy. So a lot of the costs don't get sunk into their power costs. We're going to get even further and further behind, even though we have a great country that, you know, focuses on science and all these kinds of things. If the power bill is keeping industry, like, basically hostage.
Yeah, but I mean, if you create a state-of-the-art solar system, you can then prototype it and sell it to the rest
of
the world.
Who's paying for it? That's the problem. Who's paying for it?
The person who wants to make money at the end of the day.
And that's smart. Okay, fine. have a we should have solar plants everywhere when they're ready. Australia shouldn't be running into trying to do renewable energies like headless chickens, basically. Let America develop it. Let China develop it. Let someone...
Let them make the prototype and sell it to the rest of the world.
Yes. Yes. When it's ready. When you can have solar power.
Why don't we make it? Why don't we have the world's best scientists working on stuff?
Where's the money coming from? Everyone thinks that Australia, everyone has this idea in Australia that, oh my God, why can't we be the best at all these kinds of things? We don't have the money. We're such a small country. We're such a small labor force.
But you know what? If we did create something and sold it to the rest of the world, we would have the money. We would. Like if we'd sold the internet way back when it was invented in Australia.
But why would you sell the internet? The internet, the whole point, the guys who invented the internet was it's for everybody. But no one's going to give away anything that generates energy for free. It's just not going to happen. That's why, like, even the people that now are in green energy, they're not giving it away for free. One, you've got to understand as well that when you're dealing with, like, you know, solar power and batteries like Elon Musk, he is one of the most subsidized, like, business leaders in the world. The American government gives him so many tax breaks to do what he does. And that's the thing. It generates a false economy. Until, like, I'm all for renewable energy, but not now. Not now. Until it's at a level where you can guarantee that you're going to have cheap power. So you don't have households that are struggling with energy poverty. So you don't have businesses that are spending too much time worrying about how they're going to, like, balance their P&L statement because they've got all this extra expenditure on, you know, power rather than hiring people. So what? So that the big power companies, these be green or, you know, dirty power companies, can get more money and less people get hired in, like, businesses that are, like, you know, 50 to SME businesses because they're so worried about paying their power bill they can't pay their payroll bill. For me, it's just ridiculous. I don't know.
What I don't understand, right, is I think everyone has come to a general consensus coal is phasing out.
No, it's not.
It is. It will be phasing out.
Do you know how much coal we ship overseas?
Okay, we're shipping it out a lot now, but it is generally phasing out. It's not going to be there forever. There is a finite amount of coal on this planet, and eventually we're going to run out. We're going to have some alternative. So why don't these energy companies who are allegedly raking it in from charging ridiculous power prices, why aren't they investing in R&D?
AGL is. That's why they're closing down the Liddell power plant. That's their whole thing, and they've got their... one of their people used to work for GetUp. That's really driving this. I think it's their media person or something. So AGL that's exactly what they're doing. And that's what caused this whole brouhaha this week. Because Turnbull's like, nah, mate, you can't shut down Liddell. Not like that. So now maybe the government's going to buy into the Liddell plant. There's been a couple of suitors that have come along and said, we'll take it over. Even though it's like, it's end of life, I think, is 2021. But this is what's caused the whole problem. Because AGL is trying to segue in because there's a lot of money now. Like a lot of these super funds and other business interests are heavily invested in renewables. So now they have to make it work regardless. They have to try and make it work. And who does it screw over? It screws over people that have to pay the power bills. It's always the end consumer that gets like completely gypped. It's you. It's you and your house that's getting gypped now because of all of this.
Speaking of getting gypped...
There's a smuggler, says he'll send me far. Reaching western lands, this war is very dark. Finally, I'm on the boat, water crystal clear. Going ahead, I sold my stuff just to make it there. See how I leave, no home to go back to. But you underestimate the things that I went through. That there smuggler said he'd send me far. Left us for dead on a boat and now it falls apart. The scars of that war remind me of all the pain I'm feeling. The death that haunts us all. The scars of chemicals, they leave me breathless. Pain I'm feeling, we've lost it all. You have my life inside your head, but you blame me, refugee. Keep me detained on Manus till I'm old, or get sent back to Dinesh where I'm raped or join the fold. Now I'll fight, 'cause you laughed at my despair.
Generations of abuse, of pain I'll make you share. The scars of my war remind me of your heartless suffering. You closed your port of call. The scars of ISIS, they leave me hopeless. But change I'm needing. We've lost it all. Floating refugees. But vote, drop your bombs to get the oil that you want. Turn my sorrow into barrels of gold. I'll pay you back in kind and you'll reap what you sow. We have lost it all the bombs have fallen. It all.
There's never a dull moment in American politics.
You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that.
Join Professor Ed Blakely and myself, Sean Britton, as we dissect all the goings-on in Washington and from sea to shining sea in US of Ed.
So here's a man in critical crisis. This is a guy who wears the title president, but is not a president.
US of Ed is proudly made in the studios of 2SER. Subscribe on iTunes, Wooshka, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are fake news.
You're listening to Loud Noise, the show that's made from blood, sweat, and tears. And vomit. And semen. Don't ask.
That's that, fam. Time to bounce. But if you're just pining away for more of the good good, you can slide on over to www.twistyard.com/loud-noise. You can gag and beg for it at Loud Noise Show on Twitter, or let your fingers do the stalking at thecentre.com.au.
And just because we're leaving you more alone than Trump at a cabinet meeting doesn't mean we don't love you. And just like an illegal immigrant in the States, the next show is coming up from prison. That's right, Jailbreak is up next. So lock your doors before they break and enter your heart. We'll be back next week at 9 p.m. So from everyone here at Loud Noise, and especially me, we love you. Me, Hannah.
And me, William. Have a great rest of the day. And remember, the left is never right and the right is batshit crazy.
Crazy.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Writer's tears. Loud noise.
God damn it. Welcome.